Time now for Minnesota Reads on Northland Morning. Minnesota Reads is produced at KMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Our guest this morning is Beth Dooley. She's the author of a new book just published this year by the University of Minnesota Press called Sweet Nature, A Cook's Guide to Using Honey and Maple Syrup, with photography also supplied by Meta Nielsen. She joins us by telephone this morning. Beth, good morning to you.
Good morning. What a beautiful morning.
One of the great things about both honey and maple syrup, and I have to admit, I'm half Vermonter, so I've been out in Vermont during sugaring season in those wonderful early spring days where it's below freezing at night and above freezing during the day when the maple sap runs and you sit in that house and boil it. And I still have clothing that just is imbued with the smell of the sap house, both wood smoke and maple sap. And certainly, I've cooked with honey a lot. My wife cooks with honey a lot. I've not cooked with maple syrup much. So this book to me was quite interesting to sort of open up that idea, that possibility of cooking with maple syrup. Both of these natural sugars offer something different than cane sugar or beet sugar does, don't they?
Yes, they do. Maple syrup and maple sugar have a lower glycemic index than does white sugar. So it actually impacts your body a little bit differently. So if you're sensitive to refined sugar, it's a nice replacement for that. Honey is sweeter than sugar. And when you're using it in baking or even just slathering on a scone, for instance, you really need less because it is so very sweet. So they're wonderful natural sweeteners. We also like to think of them as condiments or spices. And so throughout the book, we have suggestions and recipes for using them in ways to brighten a dish because they provide a nice counterpoint to spices or to tangy flavors. And just a little bit really brightens the flavor in, say, a soup or stew or a salad. So we have suggestions and recipes for doing that as well.
And it's quite a diverse group of recipes, as you say. It's not only as a cooking ingredient, but it's also for sauces, for sweeteners in breads, all the different ways that you can use this kind of sweetener, the way that you really can't with sugar. But it's the flavor of honey and the flavor of maple syrup, too, that's like the wonderful bonus.
That's right. And because you're adding levels of flavor, again, you use less. White sugar is very neutral. So it doesn't do anything except just sweeten. White sugar doesn't really have a flavor. So you're adding flavor to dishes when you use either honey or maple syrup in a variety of different ways. The other thing is in sauces and in salad dressings or vinaigrettes, for instance, because both honey and maple syrup are thicker, they're a little viscous, they add some body to either a sauce or to a vinaigrette. And so you're getting a richer sort of sensation when you use those. Just a little bit will help out a lot.
Now, when baking with honey and with maple syrup compared to using white sugar, I've had problems trying to figure out how that ratio works. Do you talk about that in the book a little bit about how, because it's a liquid, it's not a powder, so the volume of your dough will be a little different, for example?
Yes, that's correct. And we give ratios for making those substitutions, both in baked foods as well as in cooked foods. But the one thing to know is that maple sugar is simply a 1-to-1 conversion ratio. So, you know, and what I like about maple sugar is I find myself in a baked recipe, for instance, using quite a bit less because it has so much flavor. So in our brownie recipe, we cut back by about 1/4 cup on the amount of sugar in that recipe because that maple flavor contributes a lot to the chocolate. So you get a really delicious, rich, chocolatey brownie that's less sweet than one you'd have if you were using white and brown sugar instead. So we use less of that sugar, but we're substituting it 1-to-1. And then with the liquid sweeteners, with the honey and the maple syrup, it's just, you know, you just need to be careful to be mindful that they are liquid. And so the substitutions are not exact.
Do you often then need to find a solid to sort of give the right thickness to the dough because of using a liquid sweetener?
No, you just cut back on the amount.
Okay.
What you do is reduce the other liquids. So, for instance, if you're making a bread, you just reduce the amount of water or milk that you put in the bread. It's that kind of thing. You're just reducing the amount of liquids, the cookie dough, for instance. You're just, you may be just cut it back a little bit on the butter. I mean, it's pretty specific for each recipe. Mm-hmm. So,
and just quickly to clarify, maple syrup and maple sugar are two different things. Maple sugar is actually a crystallized form of the maple
syrup.
That's
correct.
Yep.
Yeah, that's correct. The American Indian people really taught us how to syrup. They introduced the white settlers in how to tap trees and how to boil that sap down to mm-hmm. create a syrup. But, you know, syrup is really hard to carry around. And so they were really smart and boiled it down and poured it into bricks. So they carried their maple around in shape of bricks. And we now grind that to create maple sugar. And so that's where maple sugar comes from. It's just maple syrup that's been boiled down farther.
So now tell me about all of the recipes. Did you compile them? Did you actually come up with these yourself? How did you collect such a large and diverse list?
Well, you know, we work together on a lot of different cookbooks, and we're very intentional about sourcing the ingredients from as close by our homes as possible. And there's been a resurgence in maple syrup and maple sugar and honey producers. We began to look at not only using as much local foods that are grown around here and meats and poultries and cheeses and things like that, mm-hmm. but how can we substitute these refined products like sugar that's not terribly good for you with something that is delicious, that comes from nearby, and that's better for the earth. And, you know, as you probably know, we need more trees because they're one of the best carbon captures around. We need more bees. We need more pollinators. And so we began to look at how we might use those foods in our cooking that also support the people that are doing this incredible work to make this food available to us. So that was our intention. And as we created recipes, we looked to our favorite recipes to see where we could make those substitutions.
Hmm.
And also the flavored foods to see where, you know, those foods might work really well, where we could lift up those flavors. So when you're thinking about a curry, for instance, curries often have some level of sweetener in them, and sometimes it's jaggery, which is like a brown sugar, which is an Indian, you know, it's a cane sugar, but mm-hmm. it's like a brown sugar. And so, you know, honey sort of has the same flavor. So we looked to the darker honeys when we came up with a curry recipe. Or buckwheat honey, for instance, is a very dark tasting, almost molasses-like honey. It comes, you know, from the bees that pollinate. Buckwheat is very dark,
right.
Very viscous, and it works beautifully the way molasses does with stout in a barbecue sauce.
Oh.
So we came up with a sauce that uses the buckwheat honey instead of molasses in a barbecue sauce.
Now that brings up an interesting point, too, is that honey and maple syrup are not just, they're not a static thing. It really depends on where the maple trees are, what the bees are pollinating that
yes.
add that additional sort of regional flavor to whatever honey or maple syrup you're using.
Quite like what the, you know, wine producers call terroir,
mm.
right? That where something comes from is going to influence, you know, where it's grown, how it's produced, you know, what the impacts of the weather, the soil, that, you know, all of those are going to influence what something tastes like. And so it's really a taste of place. Now, what people need to know is that raw honey, which is honey that hasn't been heated or produced, has a few more nutrients and a lot more flavor than do the processed commercial honeys.
Hmm.
And so the reason why it's, you know, without getting too complicated, what people need to know is that Minnesota produces more commercial honey than any other region in the country because we have a lot of clover, right? And so many of the honey producers are taking the honey that's not perfect and they're processing that honey into the liquid honey that you can buy in canisters in the store. And it's a very good honey, but it's been heated so that it stays liquid. What that heat does is it's got the flavor, so those honeys all taste consistently the same. You won't get the nuanced flavors that you get when you buy raw honey from a local producer. So when you're baking or cooking with honey, it's fine to use the processed honey because it's less expensive, and you're not going to lose flavors in cooking it anyway. So you might as well use a less expensive honey for cooking and baking. There are the recipes where you're really paying attention to the flavor honey, where you're adding the honey at the last minute and it doesn't cook very long, or are you using that honey in, say, a honey butter or honey cream cheese or something where you want the flavor of that honey to shine through, that's the best use of a local raw honey.
Great. This, I assume, is not your first book. You've got others as well, the cookbooks you've made.
Yeah, I have quite a few books. Netta and I have co-authored a number of books, Minnesota's Bounty, the Farmer's Market Cookbook. 2 years ago, Savory Sweet, Quick Pickles and Jams and Preserves from a Northern Kitchen. Mm-hmm. And then this one just came out. And then last year, I was the co-author with John Sherman, a fabulous, wonderful Native American or American Indian cook who has an enterprise called the Sioux Chef's Kitchen. And
yes.
So that book is the Sioux Chef's Indigenous Kitchen. And that was named the best American book by the James Beard Foundation. So
yeah.
That won a James Beard Award. So that was great.
Yes.
And then a long time ago, I've written a number of books, but one of the is Savoring the Seasons of the Northern Heartland. And I worked on that, co-authored that with Lucia Watson, who is the former owner of Lucia's Restaurant, which has won a number of awards in the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. So that was fun to work on, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's next for you? What have you got up in the future?
You're nice to ask. Right now, I'm working on a book tentatively titled The Perennial Kitchen. And it's shining a light on the work being done by the University of Minnesota and other land-grant universities in our region to perennialize the land, get more farmers to grow crops, to work on getting more that are perennial, like berries and asparagus and things that come back every year. So you're not ripping things out and planting them again.
Mm-hmm.
And then also some of the small artisan grains, some of the heritage wheat. So we're going to see more rye, for instance, more oats, more millet, and more of the heritage wheats as well being planted all over our landscape because the work is called regenerative agriculture, and it's a way to grow food that also enhances the environment. So that's the focus of that book. So there'll be a lot of storytelling in that book, too, about the people that are doing that work.
Wonderful. Well, Beth, thanks so much. We appreciate it and look forward to seeing that one as well.
Great. Thank you. I'll make sure you get a copy. Thanks.
Take care. Okay.
All right.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Beth Dooley, the co-author of Sweet Nature, A Cook's Guide to Using Honey and Maple Syrup. She co-authored the book with Meta Nielsen, who provided the photography for the book, a diverse collection of honey and maple syrup recipes and ways of using that as a substitute for other sugars in your foods. Minnesota Reads is produced at KMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.